It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 132 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And while we've been doing this for 132 weeks, for some of you, this might be your very first week joining us.
We are on the cusp of the release of X-Wing 2nd Edition. When this episode posts, it'll be releasing the very next day, tomorrow, Thursday, September 13th. And we thought this would be a good time, now that we're on the verge of a new release, to talk a little bit about what X-Wing is. And if you are a brand new player to the game, we thought this would be a good time to talk a little bit about the essential components of X-Wing, what you're going to need to get into this game, and why you should get into this game.
Yeah, and in Radio TCX fashion, let's just get right into it.
So with the release of 2nd Edition right upon us, Carson and I wanted to really focus in on some of the fundamental questions of why you should get into X-Wing and what you're going to need to get going. And to start that off, we basically asked ourselves three questions that players new to the game would be interested in knowing the answers to.
All right, so we first want to ask, what is the game of X-Wing? And then we want to ask, what makes X-Wing different from other games? What makes it stand out? And then we want to end on why we enjoy playing the game and why we think you will too.
All right, so let's start by answering that very basic first question there. I know this sounds super simple, especially to people who've been listening to the podcast for a long time, but I think this was a good thought experiment because it actually took me a couple minutes once we posed this question to ourselves to kind of really summarize what is X-Wing, because it is a unique game and it does stand out from other tabletop games, other board games, and other miniatures games. At its most simple, X-Wing is a quick-to-learn, quick-to-play tactical miniatures game set in the Star Wars universe.
In the game of X-Wing, you fly a small squad of Star Wars starfighters, and the success of your squadron depends on your use of spatial reasoning skills and your grasp of probability.
And those are really two standout elements of X-Wing, and they're present in a lot of other games, but X-Wing really focuses on those two main elements. When we're talking about spatial reasoning, we're looking at the core mechanics of X-Wing, those maneuver templates you use to move your ships around, and the firing arcs there that determine whether or not your ships can attack.
And while the core combat mechanics to X-Wing are relatively simple, the game designers have managed to squeeze in quite a bit of interesting probability calculations to the game.
You'll find when you're playing X-Wing that you have to make a lot of small decisions based on the general probability of the outcomes. You don't necessarily need to know a lot about statistics or any percentages here. You can get a pretty good grasp of X-Wing probability just by playing the game and experiencing it over time. But that probability does lend itself to some of the game's more interesting elements. In fact, one of my favorite elements of the game, the bluffing component of it, is really founded in that probability of using your known information to make decisions, even though you're not going to necessarily know what the outcomes will be.
Absolutely. That bluffing element, when you have your face-down maneuver dial, is one of the iconic elements of the game of X-Wing. It's been so popular that Fantasy Flight has incorporated it into a lot of their other games as well.
And the fact that there is unknown information coming from both players, where the players are making decisions during that planning phase, means that it creates a lot of interesting decision-making where you're not going to necessarily know just by looking at the board state what the best decision is going to be. You have to determine what the best decision is going to be based on what you expect your opponent to do. And whether or not you're right, the degree to which you succeed is going to depend very much on how good you are at anticipating your opponent's maneuvers.
The game of X-Wing works in phases. So you're going to start with the planning phase, where you get to do all that fun bluffing, and then you're going to move on to the activation phase, where you get to use very precise maneuver templates to simulate your ships moving through space. And then you move to the engagement phase, where combat occurs. And that's where things get pretty chaotic. Sometimes it goes all as you expect, but as this is a game with variants, sometimes you can have very dramatic turns occur.
And while variance is an important part of the game, especially when it comes to combat, because the combat is dice-based, I think one unfair criticism that X-Wing often gets is that it is, quote-unquote, a dice game, where, yes, there's always the possible chance that you will, despite your decisions, roll all blanks, or your opponent will roll all hits. But for the most part, your decisions actually do matter, and they do affect the probability. Whether you take focus tokens or target locks, whether you get your ships in and out of arc, these are all decisions that do add up, and in the end, will determine your chance at victory more so than any dice probability. I mean, you know, Paul Heaver won 3 consecutive world championships in X-Wing, so it seems unlikely that that was completely by happenstance.
But conversely, I've won quite a few games, and I'm pretty sure that was all just luck.
Well, I always assume whenever you beat me in a game that it was mostly the dice, but anytime I win, that was clearly my superior decision-making.
Right.
All right, so we've talked about what X-Wing is, essentially. Now let's talk about what makes it different from other miniatures games, because there's a reason this game stood out to you and me when we got into it way back in the day. So let's look at those essential elements that make it stand apart from other board games and from other miniatures games.
I mean, the first thing that stood out to me and why I got into it in the first place was the aesthetics of the game. You get very well-painted, pre-painted miniatures, which I've played a lot of miniatures games in. That is something that's quite rare. Either they're not pre-painted or they're not painted that greatly.
Prior to X-Wing, I had been familiar with things like Warhammer, other miniatures games where you had to assemble your miniatures and paint them, and that was going to be a big time component of it. What really appealed to me about X-Wing, beyond the obvious Star Wars connection, is that these things are ready to go out of the box. So, and the paint jobs are really nice, too. Obviously, if you want to, you can paint over them, and we've seen some really cool stuff in the community. But right from the get-go, X-Wings look fantastic. They look like you'd expect them to be really high-quality models. And I think that's, you know, you can't undervalue that selling point of this game, is that from out of the box, these models look fantastic, and they're fun to use.
And the effect is that you get good-looking games without really any effort on your part. Some other miniatures games, you can have very beautiful-looking games, but that requires a lot of hours of work to get to that point. X-Wing, all you really have to do is open the packaging.
And now in second edition, we're starting to see improvements to even the existing models that were released in first edition. We're seeing a lot more articulated models, updated molds and paint schemes. So I think the miniatures in second edition look better than ever.
Yeah, and while the setup is pretty easy for X-Wing, learning to play is also pretty easy as well. You have a very small rule book for a miniatures game. And of course, everything coming ready to use right out of the box means you can get playing the day you get your core set instead of a few weeks later.
Well, and when compared to other miniatures games too, all the information is generally included on the cards or the cardboard you're playing with. You don't need to be constantly consulting rule books. And the mechanics are actually elegant enough. There's a lot of interesting dynamic things you can do with them, but they're elegant enough that once you learn how to use them, you're generally going to remember, and you're not going to have to reference things constantly to remember how to barrel roll or what a focus token does. And that means the game is just really easy to get into and get started playing. You know, once you get that core set out of the box, you can just take a glance at those quick start rules, and you can get flying within minutes of getting your models out of the packaging.
Yeah, and we do really recommend, you know, playing that core set level game when you're just starting out. You know, one X-Wing versus 2 TIE Fighters, it's very well balanced and a great way to learn the game. But what's also great about X-Wing is that it can very easily grow from there. Quickly add 1 or 2 ships on each side.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that I bought far more models before I had played very many games of X-Wing, I was just so excited about it. Back in the day, X-Wing does scale very nicely. So you can start with that core set, which I would always argue is a fine board game on its own. Even if you bought nothing beyond the core set, you can have several hours of fun just using the core set elements, using that escalation mode in the new core set. But beyond that, you can just start very slowly, incrementally increasing your collection. You don't need to buy whole collections and sets. You can just buy that core set and decide, all right, I've learned these ships well enough. Now I want to try a TIE Advance and throw a Y-Wing in there. Just expand those squads a little bit. You can do that with X-Wing, which is really interesting and awesome, that you don't need to invest a lot of money to expand and change your game around.
Yeah, and the collections, yeah, absolutely scale very well. I mean, just adding one new kit to your collection adds, you know, a whole range of pilot options and new upgrade cards that you could put on your existing ships, which when you think about all the combinations of upgrades, there's quite a lot of games in there.
And another component that really appealed to me when I was getting into X-Wing is how that scaling of the game can easily lead you into a more competitive environment. That's one thing that really excited me, because I knew I'd seen on the Facebook page in the Twin Cities area that there were a lot of tournaments and events going on all the time. It's really not that difficult in X-Wing to be able to go to those competitive events and really have a fun time and feel like you have a chance at taking those events. Obviously, you know, there's a lot to learn, and if you're playing more experienced players, you're going to have a bit of an uphill battle. But amongst competitive games that I've seen, X-Wing is one of the most accessible you can get into. You don't have to buy expensive combinations of cards if you're playing a competitive trading card game. but you can invest a little bit of money, build a squad up to 200 points, and go test it out at a, you know, pretty low-key tournament environment where, yes, you're getting the competitive element of a tournament, but I've found in general that the X-Wing community is very welcoming of new players, and the best way to get connected with your X-Wing community and to learn the game better is to just go participate in those weeknight tournaments. Even if you don't think you're good enough, even if you're not certain about your squad, try them out in these environments, and you'll find that you'll enjoy the game that much more.
And the squad you build at home is probably not as bad as you think it is. It'll probably do just fine. So those are all the reasons why we were first drawn to the game and what we thought set it apart from other games. But why, you know, we've continued to play this game, you know, why we're 132 episodes into a podcast about the game, is at the foundation, X-Wing has very elegant mechanics. It's a game that just plays very well. You have these precision maneuver templates and the varying mobility between ships' maneuver dials that make the game feel very comparable to chess, which is a game that people spend, you know, a lifetime mastering. And I think X-Wing is on that same caliber with its mechanics. Yeah, it's really hard to design a game where less is more, but I think the designers of X-Wing have really accomplished that.
Well, and I think that chess comparison you made is apt, because we've talked about this before in previous episodes of the podcast, but I think there is a lot of comparisons to be made there. And I agree that the design of this game is so elegant, and the maneuver templates and the simple combat system all combine together to make something that stands out from a lot of other tabletop games. There's a reason we've been making this podcast. There's a reason this community's been so strong over the last several years. And I think, all brought together, X-Wing is just such a well-designed and well-laid-out game, and it continues to grow and develop.
Yeah, and that simple combat that you mentioned is another great point of X-Wing. It's what keeps the game moving and enables you to play multiple games in one night. All the decision points of the game lead up to prior to combat. So combat is just going through the decisions you've already made. So it's nice that it moves quickly.
So we've answered the questions, what is X-Wing? We've answered what makes it different from other miniatures games. So the real question is, why should you, the new person coming to X-Wing, play this game?
Well, it's funny. When we first started out, this was the Star Wars miniatures game. And so if you wanted to play a Star Wars miniature game, well, then X-Wing is the game for you. And now there's quite a few Star Wars games, but I still think X-Wing is the best of them. I think it just perfectly captures that air combat mechanic so well that I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a Star Wars game that is so immersive.
Well, and we know that the Star Wars space battles were very much inspired by kind of World War II dogfighting, and I think X-Wing actually does a really good job of capturing the feel of the Star Wars universe and also just general dogfighting, jockeying for position, which is quite an accomplishment when you're dealing with a two-dimensional plane here, capturing something that's inherently three-dimensional. It's executed really well.
Absolutely.
So even if you're not a fan of Star Wars and you like the idea of dogfighting, I think this is probably one of the best game options you have out there. Another thing I really like about X-Wing is it rewards thinking on the fly and adapting. Obviously, there's a lot of preparation that goes before a match, deciding on what list and what ships you're going to bring. And then even at the setup of the game, deciding how you're going to initially place those ships on the game mat. But what I love is the emphasis on tactics in X-Wing, where it's a lot about the little decisions you make turn to turn. And sometimes things will swing one way or the other, and you're going to have to adjust your strategy based on, you know, a nasty crit coming up or an attack not being as effective as you expected it to be. And in X-Wing, every game is interesting like that, where suddenly you're going to have to change strategies, even ones that have worked consistently for you in the past, based on a new element being interjected into the game. Whether it's a surprise critical that hurts your ship's ability to function, or your opponent makes a decision that you were not expecting, and it puts you in a really bad position.
I mean, I've been playing X-Wing for quite a few years now, and I'm always pleasantly surprised that I keep finding new situations that my opponent puts me in. And I think that's just so refreshing. I mean, we've mentioned before that X-Wing is a really quick and easy game to learn compared to other miniatures games. But it's also a game that, you know, if you put the time in and take the time to study the game, as Tim and I have through this podcast, that it really rewards you for that.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you hear that phrase a lot, quick to learn, difficult to master, but this game really does encapsulate that, where the core mechanics are so elegant and intuitive that you can learn the game very quickly, but there's a pretty high skill ceiling for this game, And because it's so dependent on things like spatial reasoning and learning the probability of how the dice work, this is something you really will improve at over time, where suddenly you're going to be able to start making decisions like, well, if I make this move here, then I'll know this ship will probably be within range of my ship. And that's something you can really only gather over time. That's not something you can learn by rule books or just watching other people fly. You really have to be in the game, figuring out how the ships move and how those ranges measure out from the table. And in that way, X-Wing is really rewarding, right? It's a game you can really get better at and feel like you're getting better at.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've been doing this show for 2 years now, and we've been playing for a few years before that. And we wouldn't put this time into it if it wasn't rewarding, if we didn't enjoy that pursuit of knowledge we gained through our discussions of the game.
And obviously, people who are more experienced with the game will have a bit of an advantage having a better understanding of how the ranges work and how ships maneuver. But at the same time, you do still have random elements, which are important in a lot of games. And in X-Wing, they actually help balance things out and help close that skill gap a little bit. Obviously, not enough to make the entire game a dice game. But there's enough in there that it always keeps people on their toes. So even if someone has a really strong advantage in a game, oftentimes there are decisions that can be made or just turns of variance that can help swing the game the other way, which keeps players who are losing in the game and have a chance at still winning, and players who are winning the game really focus and continue to fly well because nothing's for sure.
Yeah, and of course, that's how I manage to keep beating Tim, is I just roll natural critical results, and they're always, of course, direct hits or fuel leaks. Another great thing about X-Wing is that it's a game that both poker players and chess players can agree on. You have your precision movements that really reward players who can visualize how everything's going to move on the table and think about how things are going to move a few turns down the road. But it also rewards players who can make quick statistical decisions on the fly and read their opponent very well. And with so many different, you know, ways to test people within each game, I think that, you know, X-Wing really does have something for every gamer.
And the final reason we think you should play this game, and I would argue the most important reason, is that the X-Wing community is a phenomenal group of people. Through this podcast and through going to different events over the past couple years, we've had the opportunity to meet X-Wing players from all across the country and all across the world. And I can honestly say that those experiences are some of the most fun I've had.
Yeah, absolutely. Hands down, the best part of X-Wing is the people you meet.
And I'd really recommend, if you have the opportunity, try and get connected with your local X-Wing community if you have one. Most major cities across the country have large X-Wing groups you can join. Or even if there isn't one in your region, you can connect up with a lot of other X-Wing groups from around the country so you can at least be in contact with other X-Wing players. And obviously, if you don't have a X-Wing community in your local area, why not start one? You know, reach out to your local game store, ask them if they can order some of those tournament kits, and try and build up that community yourself. It takes some work, but it's really worth it. All right, so let's get a little bit practical here. If you're a new player, brand new to X-Wing, or if you're someone who played first edition a little bit and has at least a little bit of a collection here, we're going to cover the essential components you need to play second edition.
Right, whether you just got a core set and are looking at what to get next, or completely brand new, just been thinking about getting into the game, we're going to answer your initial first purchase questions. So of course, right off the bat, you do need that second edition core set. It's going to give you your essential damage deck, your maneuver templates, your dice, as well as it's a good value on ships. You get an X-Wing and two TIE fighters in there.
Yeah, so that's obviously a way to start, but from there it can get a little bit interesting. So there's really two paths you can go down to get into second edition. Like I said, if you're a brand new player, that's one route, and if you're someone who has at least somewhat of a collection from first edition, there's a different route for you. So if you're a brand new player, well, welcome to the game. What you're really going to start out with is picking up some Wave 1 content. That's stuff that's going to be available when the game launches tomorrow, September 13th. And what's nice about second edition X-Wing is that if you want to have, you know, a usable collection or a competitive collection, the developers have stated that they're going to try and make it so that you can just buy into one or two factions, your choice. You don't have to buy all the content from all the factions just to get specific upgrade or title cards, stuff like that.
Right. And I would really recommend not buying all three factions right away. Just pick, you know, one or two factions, you know, two factions if you want to have enough to play against somebody else as well. But really pick whichever one is your favorite. From a lore or aesthetic perspective, because they're all good. And I would just get one of each ship in that wave one.
Yeah, that'll give you a nice baseline to start building lists. And this is kind of a trap people fall into. I definitely fell into it when I started playing first edition, that you feel this need to, oh, I need to own, you know, 4, 5, 6 TIE fighters. I need to have multiple X-Wings. That's not necessarily the case. It's really nice to start by, you know, just getting one of every ship so that you can get a feel for how the ships work and you see which ones you like and which ones you don't like. It's totally okay to build slowly. You know, start with just that more minor collection, and then as you start to see the game elements you like, expand it by getting additional ships. One thing we can say for certain is that if you're totally brand new to X-Wing, you do not need to purchase any of the conversion kits that are available.
Right, but if you are someone who does have a first edition collection, and with second edition you're looking to get back into the game, well then the conversion kits are going to be for you. Here, once again, I mean, they are kind of pricey, so you don't really need to get all three at once unless you want to. But you could just get, you know, one or two of the conversion kits for your favorite factions.
Yeah, and this is really going to be a recommendation we make if you already have even at least a partial collection from first edition, where maybe you don't have all the ships exactly, but if you have, you know, a dozen plus ships, you'll really start to see the value from these conversion kits, because it'll come with all the upgrade cards you need and pilot cards you need to fly those ships in second edition. And obviously, we're just talking about the first wave that's launching here, but there will be additional waves and new ships released over time. But the same basic principles apply every time, where I would generally recommend you just get maybe one copy of each new ship for the factions you're playing and try them out before you invest too heavily in multiple copies of the same ship.
Yeah, I somehow ended up with more Kirax fighters than I could even field on the table. And I haven't even used one Kirax fighter in quite a while. So find the ships that you enjoy playing and then invest in more of those if you want to.
Now, for a lot of people, that's all pretty straightforward. You know, buy the ships, you can play the game. I think the real question here is when we're looking at accessories, third-party products, things not officially coming from Fantasy Flight Games, you're going to see a lot of stuff advertised out there, game mats, tokens, acrylic things. We wanted to dive a little bit into this so we can say what we think is the most essential and is going to be the most beneficial for your X-Wing experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different acrylic third-party vendors that'll sell you tokens, templates, all sorts of accessories. And most of them make pretty good quality products. And you could definitely spend a lot of money getting a lot of fancy acrylic tokens. But what we'd recommend is, if you are going to get something, get the acrylic maneuver templates. We found those are the products we've enjoyed the most.
Since templates are such an essential part of the game, they're going to see a lot of use. And I've even seen this at tournaments, people who've been using their cardboard templates, which is totally fine, but they definitely will start to show their wear over time. I've really enjoyed using acrylic templates. They look really nice. You can get some custom designed. And since they're just such a well-used component, it's nice to have something that's going to last you a lot longer than the cardboard that comes in the core set.
Yeah, when you can't read the paint on your one straight template, it might be time to consider some acrylic templates.
The other big recommendation I'd make is to not purchase any third-party dice. There's a specific reason for this. They are not actually legal to use at pretty much any tournament event you'll see for X-Wing.
We also do recommend sleeving your damage deck. This is something that gets shuffled a lot, used a lot. So these cards do get worn. So some nice sleeves does help quite a bit.
And that's a pretty inexpensive fix. Now, one big question people have when they're getting their collection initially is, how are we going to store it? And it's hard to find that balance between, well, I don't have a lot of miniatures yet, I'm not sure how much I'm going to get into this game, what should I get for storage? And the one I'd actually recommend is the one I started with way back in the day. I saw some recommendations online, and I really liked it as a good starter storage that's going to last you at least until your collection expands quite a bit. I was using the Plano Stow-N-Go 5231. This is a dual storage case. It's got a large compartments on the lower portion and then a plastic clear top where you've got some smaller compartments for tokens, range rulers, and whatnot. This thing only runs about $16 to $17 on Amazon, and it's going to fit pretty much all the miniatures you can get. The Wave 1 miniatures for sure. Templates, your range ruler fit in there, all your tokens. This is a really great, pretty portable storage solution for when you're just starting out in the game.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I really wouldn't use any of the Plano products for any tools or fishing because they're not that durable of plastic for like heavy tools. But for X-Wing, they kind of work perfectly. Those plastic compartments can fit a lot of ships pretty snugly so that they're not shaking around. And this Stow and Go does have room for some of the larger base ships as well. Now, however, once your collection does grow quite a bit, and you have a larger storage solution, we also recommend not bringing your whole collection to events. I use a small plastic box to bring my list to events. But actually, the Corset box with its little dividers works pretty well for bringing a list to an event. It keeps things nice and organized, so you can set up really quickly. You don't have to have a lot of setup time between rounds.
This was definitely a lesson I learned early on, trying to haul around all those containers and get my miniatures on their bases and pull out all my tokens. That's really inconvenient if you're hauling your whole collection around all the time. So I'd really recommend any kind of, you know, event box. Even that Corset box, like Carson was saying, is perfect pretty much for this. Just make sure you have all your essential components, the miniatures, the bases, the cardboard, the range rulers, and the dials. And the last, you know, essential component, I guess you don't necessarily need to buy one to enjoy the game, but I would recommend purchasing a game mat at some point. Fantasy Flight does offer official ones with licensed Star Wars art on them. But really, the uniform play area is a 3x3 area, so if you even just have a piece of vinyl cut to that dimension or a piece of fabric, that's a great way to start. Don't feel the need to invest a whole lot. And oftentimes, game stores will have these mats available for you to use if you're just trying out the game.
But the mats are totally worth it. They look awesome.
Especially that totally nonsensical Hoth mat. It's my favorite.
I'm a Bespin guy.
No, the Bespin one is cool. The Hoth one just doesn't make any sense. All right, guys, there you have it. Just a kind of a primer there if you're getting into X-Wing 2nd Edition or returning from 1st Edition and want to try out the new edition. Hopefully we got you some helpful information. And if you're someone trying to get your friends into the game, we were hoping that this episode would be a great place you can point them to so they can get a general feel for why people like us who've been playing this game for years enjoy the game and just some quick tips for how they can get started.
And for everyone who's just started the game, welcome. It's a great game with a great community. We're happy to have you join.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/Radio TCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/Radio TCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us. And thank you to all of our current Patreon supporters.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a great launch weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.